Now, reminder that we have sitting with us Marcy Alberhurst. She writes the Shifting Careers blog for the New York Times. We've been talking to her about the bailout on Wall Street and how it's put some people in charge of work. Well, there are other bailouts in history, and we're going to talk now to Terrence McKnight. He's host of WNYC's Evening Music. Believe it or not, the bailout is not just the preserve of Wall Street. Musicians have long since mastered the art of getting saved from financial ruin, and Terrence McKnight is with us to talk about three very different musicians who were thrown the financial life preserver just in the nick of time. All right, Terrence, these are amazing names. Handel, Charlie Parker, Wagner?
That's right. This, you know, I'm reminded of something I heard Branford Marsalis say.
Yes.
Branford said, if you want to become a millionaire by playing jazz, first, you have to start with $1 million.
That's good advice for a lot of things.
But it doesn't just apply to jazz music. I mean, we see that composers, artists have struggled for years. I mean, let's talk about Wagner. This is one of his most recognizable, famous tunes. And Catherine, I'm just glad that you didn't play the other one. It might have confused our listeners. Dum bum ba bum be dun da da. Yeah. So this guy.
Well, Terrence, I am sweet on you.
So this guy Wagner, what led him into financial straits was his artistic ambitions. He wanted to create these huge operas, and for a while he was doing very well, but he had these bad habits, you know. He liked to spend a lot of money, he liked to chase other men's wives, he borrowed money from creditors, he ended up running all over Europe, running from his creditors. He lived in Paris. He tried to conquer that city.
Who rescued him with all these bad habits?
1864, there was a young king, King Ludwig II of Bavaria, and he heard Wagner's music. He heard Lohengrin, the Here Comes the Bride thing. He heard that as a young man, and when he became king that year, he wrote a letter to Wagner. He said, I'm going to wipe away all your debts. I'm going to build you a house. I'm going to build you this big opera house to play your music. And that's what saved Wagner in 1864. He lived to 1883. So King Ludwig of Bavaria rescued Wagner.
I'm writing this down. My plan B. Meet King of Bavaria. Okay. Now, what about Charlie Parker? You have him on your list as well.
I've got Charlie Parker on my list. He's a little more difficult to pin down because Charlie Parker, born 1920 in Kansas City. And Kansas City was happening. I mean, you've had, you know, this was during Prohibition. You had, you know, drugs that were kind of legal, and you had prostitution, you had gambling. It was a 24-hour nightlife happening in Kansas City. Charlie Parker grew up in that environment, and he, you know, started to partake of some of this nightlife happening, but he also partook of the great music that was happening. Jay McShann had come to Kansas City in 36, and Charlie Parker started playing with him in around 37, and so he transitioned from the blues to this, what we're hearing now, bebop, and this is perhaps the first bebop recording, a tune called Coco. Charlie Parker's issue was, you know, he had an accident, had some morphine, and got addicted to heroin. And so throughout his life, there was not one person because of the drugs. If you have anybody in your family who is abuses drugs, you know it takes more than one person to rescue that person. So there were a number of people, his family, his friends. You know, he hawked his instruments. He hawked other musicians' instruments. And he ended up having a nervous breakdown and spent some time in the hospital. And came out the hospital and was okay for a few years and went back to that lifestyle. So in the case of Charlie Parker, it was a bunch of folks. It was a community to save him.
That's the one that I think Alan Greenspan would have approved because he's such a lover of jazz, the former Federal Reserve chairman. I could see him going, all right, let's try and save Charlie.
Well, there was a baroness towards the end of Charlie's life, Nika de Koenigswarter. And there were a lot of musicians who wrote
Terrence,
music for her.
This is my new plan B. Meet a baroness. Okay.
So the baroness, right towards the end of Charlie Parker's life, you know, he spent time at her apartment. In fact, he died in her apartment right across the street from the Metropolitan Museum of Art.
Now, let's move on to your third one, George Frederick Handel. Talk about his problems.
Well, Handel, you know, he should have listened to his father. His father said, well, maybe he shouldn't have listened. His father said, I want you to go to law school. Son, go to law school. Don't pursue music, you know. And so Handel couldn't resist that pull that music had on him. And so Handel You know, he was very cosmopolitan, born in Germany, went to study Italian, you know, Italian opera was the big thing then. So he went to Italy, studied opera and learned opera for about 3 years. And then he wanted to conquer England. So he moved to England and he brought these Italian operas to England with him. And so he wrote all these Italian operas that were a hit for a while. And then the English grew tired of Italian opera. They wanted to hear something in their own language. But Handel was determined to make a living with Italian and opera, and at some point, you know, it stopped working for him. And then the year he was going to retire, 1741, he gets a libretto from a guy named Charles Jennens, and it was the libretto to Messiah. Handel composed Messiah, took it to Dublin, and it was a huge hit, and it's been a big hit ever since.
All right, so he kind of bailed himself out with his own talent.
And the Messiah. Maybe Messiah bailed him up.
Plan B. Now, I was just going to say, we have Marcy Alberher here who writes about shifting careers. I saw you perk up when Terrence was talking about law school.
I still think if you've got this real talent within you, going to law school may not be the best advice, and a lot of people are still getting that advice from their parents.
Well, you know, in the case of a musician, you know, it's great to have that law experience. Then you can perhaps negotiate some of your own contracts.
I knew the two of you were going to make beautiful music together. Terrence McKnight, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Terrence McKnight, he's hosted WNYC's Evening Music. And Marcy Alberher, the Shifting Careers columnist and blogger for the New York Times, want to thank you as well.
Thank you.
Thank you, Catherine.
The Messiah. There is lots of ways to catch up with us at The Takeaway. You can find us on Twitter, Friend Feed, Facebook. We're talking about Congress and credit. Hard times are hitting, and we're waiting on a plan. We're also hearing how you eat. A new report shows that the sale of breakfast food goes up when the economy goes down. Now, Brian in Nutley, New Jersey, now that sounds like a good breakfast right there, Nutley. He sends us an email and says, I eat a whole wheat English muffin with natural peanut butter and a banana. Woohoo, he says. That's good eats. People, you're disgustingly healthy. Here's what another one of you said.
My name is Jesse Mullen, and I'm calling from Westchester, New York. And I'm questioning the assumption that the purchase of breakfast cereal during an economic downturn is signaling a big change in people's appetites. Perhaps it's signaling more about what they're eating for dinner.
Ah, yeah, we thought about that ourselves. Tony the Tiger showing up at the kitchen table. What's your take? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or go to MyTake at thetakeaway.org. And by the way, if you're not sure what you think about the candidates, we have a new tool for you on Facebook. It's called Who Should I Vote For? And you can enter three qualities you like in your next president, and other Facebook users will tell you who you should vote for. All right, there's a link on our homepage, so go to that. That's thetakeaway.org. I'm Catherine Lanford, sitting in today for both Adora Udoji and John Hockenberry.